The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, the Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Mystic cards in Into Deep, the first Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get a Tentacle. And the cards in between are awarded a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. There are three Mystic cards in the pack, and they are all variations on a theme. The first of them being Armageddon. It is a four-cost asset with a combat skill icon. It has the spell and curse traits. It uses three charges. As an action, you can spend one charge, fight. This attack uses willpower instead of combat and deals +1 damage. If a curse token is revealed during this attack, you may deal one damage to an enemy at your location, or place one charge on Armageddon. It requires an arcane slot. Now, I sat down and did some math the other night on these, and if you are only revealing one token from the chaos bag and you've got one curse token in the bag, you only have a 4.76% chance of this thing triggering. If you've got five curse tokens in the bag, you've got a 20% chance, and at 10 curse tokens, you're up to 33.33%. So not a big chance of this thing actually working out for you, unless you're using some sort of a way of drawing multiple tokens from the bag, like Olive McBride. If you use Olive and you've only got one token, it's 14.29%. At five tokens, she's up to 50.43%, and at 10 tokens, 71.92%. Unfortunately, I think there is this card costs more than Shriveling or Azure Flame. Unless you can pack the bag with tokens or use Olive to draw multiple tokens, I just don't think you're going to get the value out of this that that you expect. What do you think, Nate?
I mean, on its face, it is basically just a slightly more expensive Shriveling, which is fine. It's not the worst. The curse token isn't like contingent on you dealing two damage, which is good. I think with these cards specifically, they're hard to judge because you can build a whole deck around them. And I think you might see some additional benefit from drawing curse tokens during these skill tests, but you have to jump through a lot of hoops to make these cards more than what they are. And I think for that, it's gonna be a challenge.
Yeah, I think one of the big issues right now, anyway, is that Mystics just don't have, like, a pure Mystic just doesn't have a lot of ways to add a lot of curse tokens to the bag. I mean, you can play the neutral card Tempt Fate, which will add three. You can play Tides of Fate, which will turn all the blessed tokens into curse tokens. But at that point, you're playing four cards just to manipulate the tokens in the bag, just to try to get yourself enough curse tokens for this thing to trigger. And and between that and so there's four cards. Now you've got to add Olive if you want to make sure you draw enough tokens to see those curse tokens. You're up to six, and you haven't actually done anything yet. you've got all this architecture you've got to build up around a more expensive Shriveling, which is a little, as someone who plays a lot of Mystic, that just isn't that appealing to me. And I guess the other issue I have is that curse token is going to be a -2. So you either need a way to mitigate that token, or you need to have above average willpower in order to account for it, which if mm-hmm. you're facing an enemy with average to above average fight, then you're probably going to have to commit extra cards to this to account for the skill test, just to account for the curse token, which is, again, now not only am I playing a lot of cards to make this thing good, but now I'm having to commit cards as well in order to trigger it. And especially, like, I think the one who seems to play around, the mystic who seems to play around with the most tokens is Father Mateo, but he's only got a 4 willpower. So if you subtract 2 for the curse token, now he's at a 2, and that's not a position I want to be in when I'm facing facing enemies.
Yeah, there is, like I was saying, there is definitely a lot of hoops you have to jump through. But, you know, on the other side, you know, it is still a way to deal 2 damage. So in a pinch, it is still useful in that regard. Unlike other cards that we've seen that interact with the tokens just on their own face.
Yeah, and I mean, it is nice to have the option to deal an additional damage so you can hit for 3 with this thing, which is, I mean, 3 enemies with 3 health seem to be more the norm than the exception these days. And the ability to ping an enemy that you're not engaged with is also potentially valuable if you've got a Whippoorwills hanging around or something like that. That you just want to get rid of. And of course, adding a charge is never I'm not going to say no to that either. It's just, how do you get enough tokens in the bag and how do you draw them consistently enough to trigger this thing is the big question mark for me. And I'm just not seeing that stuff in Mystic right now. Maybe in a Mystic / Seeker, Seekers seem to have the lion's share of the curse tokens right now. So,
or maybe a mystic rogue like Dexter or Safina, who can add a bunch of curse tokens with things like Faustian Bargain and some of the other rogue cards that we've seen.
Yeah. So I think I think by the end of the cycle, we might see the deck that this goes in, but right now I'm not seeing it, so I think I'm just going to give this a 0.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I didn't want to give it an elder thing, as like I was saying, I do think that at least on its face the card is still useful. If you're playing Akachi, you do get an additional charge, so you know, there is that. It's still below average on shriveling in that regard, but it doesn't have a downside like shriveling. So, you know, you can kind of weigh that out how you see it. And if you're leaning into the curse mechanic, then this card is pretty decent.
Yeah. So I think this is one that we'll have to watch. I'm sure by the end of the cycle, we'll get a better impression of what this Mystic Curse deck looks like, but right now I'm just not sure there's enough there to get it off the ground. But we still have 5 packs to go, so I think it's a bit early to write this one off. The second Mystic card in the pack is quite similar. It is Eye of Chaos. It is a 5 cost asset with a intellect skill icon, the spell and curse traits. It uses 3 charges, and as an action, you may spend 1 charge, investigate using willpower instead of intellect. If you succeed, discover 1 additional clue at this location. If a curse token is revealed during this investigation, you may discover 1 clue at a connecting location or place 1 charge on Eye of Chaos. It comes with and it requires an arcane slot. So again, your odds of drawing curse tokens without a little bit of help aren't that great, but as soon as you add in cards that let you draw multiple tokens, like all of this thing gets much more reliable. And again, it's I'm not going to turn my nose up at discovering an additional clue and potentially discovering an additional three clues, two at your location and then one nearby. But again, I'm not too sure I see how we get enough tokens in the bag to make this thing work. And it is more expensive than either Rite of Seeking or Clairvoyance.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think what really kills this card is the fact that it costs 5 resources. It's just so much to ask for.
Yeah, especially in a Mystic, if you're not playing somebody like David Renfield to get enough of those, to get enough resources to pay 5, like, man, that's a huge hit, especially at the beginning of a scenario. And if you're playing David to get the resources, you're not playing Olive to actually trigger to draw the tokens. So
I think if you're playing this card, you're probably playing something like what's the ritual card called? You know what I'm talking about, the one that reduces the spells by 3.
Right. Yeah.
You could play that, or Uncage the Soul. Yeah, you could play Uncage the Soul, or you could play Voice of Ra from the Jacqueline Fine starter deck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask for. It takes your whole starting resource pool, and it leaves you vulnerable to enemies if you don't have any resources to play another asset or an event. If you're reliant on your willpower to deal with enemies, at least it doesn't have a downside with discovering additional clues like Rite of Seeking does, which can end your turn.
So how would you play this? I mean, the thing is that the Sixth Sense exists as well, which is a very nice way of discovering clues, and I think it's considerably cheaper than this one is too. So I love the art on this. The art is very cool. But I think if I, as someone who plays Mystics, if I drew this in my opening hand, I'm not sure I have
Uncaged the Soul in my
hand. Unless you've got Uncaged the Soul, I just don't see how you can afford to play this, because even if you do, you're basically putting yourself in a very difficult position for the next couple turns if you have to pay full price for this.
Mm-hmm.
How would you rate it? Do you think it's worth a zero like Armageddon, or does the cost of this knock it down a peg?
I mean, it knocks it down a peg, but I don't know if it knocks it down to an Elder thing. My reasoning is that if you're playing the deck that plays Armageddon, I think you're definitely also playing Eye of Chaos, and you're probably also playing Voice of Ra and Uncage the Soul in that deck. And I think when you have that whole deck assembled, that the 5 resources won't feel as cumbersome.
Yeah, I think I'll give this one a zero as well. It doesn't look like a very good deal on the face of it, and I know if I drew this card without an Uncage the Soul in my hand, I would be very reluctant to play it. But I am going to be optimistic about the Mystic Curse deck that we're seeing, that I think we're seeing the beginnings of. We haven't seen the full version yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen how Mystics add curse tokens to the bag, which is the most critical piece to how these cards are going to pan out. But you can discover 3 clues with this card. So
that is true.
There is that. And one of them is at a connecting location. So
probably so easier to trigger that in multiplayer than solo, but
definitely, yep.
But if you're gathering that many clues anyway, it's definitely multiplayer. I'm just a little worried that if Tides of Fate is the only if it's Tempt Fate and Tides of Fate that we're relying on to get enough curse tokens in the bag, I don't think that's quite enough to they've also got that awesome skill from Innsmouth Conspiracy.
Promise of Power.
Promise of Power, but that only adds one token. So it's it's, you really need to be adding more than that to pull this off. So we'll see. This is another one to watch.
One other thing to before we move on to the next card too, kind of on the subject about adding the tokens, not only do you need a way to get them in the bag, but you need a way to keep putting them in the bag, because ideally you want to be drawing them when you're using these spells. So you're going to be taking them out, which again lowers the chances that you're going to be continuing to draw them. So
Now maybe if you're playing this in a Seeker off class Mystic or something like that with the Blasphemous Covenant, that's one way you can keep those tokens in the bag for future use. So, but as we shall see, the Mystic Covenant does not do that. So the final Mystic card in the pack is Shroud of Shadows. It is a 3-cost asset with an agility skill icon, spell and curse trait, uses 3 charges, and it has action, spend 1 charge, evade. This evasion attempt uses willpower instead of agility. If you succeed and the evaded enemy is non-elite, you may move that enemy to a connecting location. If a curse token is revealed during this evasion attempt, you may move to a connecting location or place 1 charge on Shroud of Shadows. It takes up an arcane slot. This is the Mists of Rillye. Similar to Mists of Rillye. Again, more expensive than Mists. And all of the stuff we talked about with drawing tokens and the need to draw multiple tokens applies here. Extra movement, being able to dump a non-elite enemy in a connecting location and then move yourself if you draw a curse token is pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, Mist does basically the same thing. But you have to reveal a special symbol and discard a card from your hand if that's the case. But I don't like. I think this one is the dud of them all. I think what saves Miss is just because it's so cheap and it comes with 4 charges. But I think Shroud of Shadows, the fact that it has this non-elite clause on it, I think kind of makes it lose a lot of stock, in my opinion. And then the ability that you get from the curse token, I think is really conditional on the scenario that you're playing. Like, you need to have a really large map. And if you're playing something like the Forgotten Age, a lot of those maps are pretty cramped, so you don't have a lot of space to move around. So I think Shroud of Shadows is kind of the lame duck of the 3.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I mean, evasion is always sort of the third leg of the stool, and it's the weakest leg, I think. It's compared to either killing enemies or discovering clues, evasion always sort of plays third fiddle to those abilities. And the non-elite, I'm not too sure how often that's going to come into play. I mean, it's, I guess if you're tanking a boss or something like that at the end of a scenario, this prevents you from moving it, but I'm not too sure you'd want to move the boss anyway, because it would probably have Hunter, or you've got, you're just tanking it because you just want to keep it from retaliating against the Guardian in the group or something like that. So I don't see the non-elite being particularly bad. I do kind of like how you can basically get some separation between you and the enemy. A lot of the enemies in the Innsmouth Conspiracy have the Hunter keyword, a lot of those deep ones, and they all have, most of them anyway that I've seen, have on engage effects. So being able to put some distance between you and them, so you don't have to worry about them is nice. So I could see it being valuable. I mean, that's the biggest problem with evading enemies with the Hunter keyword, is that you get rid of them for a turn, but then they are going to give chase, and then you're sort of in that awkward position where you've moved on, but then you either are going to take an attack when they catch up with you, or you have to go backwards to try to deal with them. And I think this sort of mitigates that issue a little bit, because you can push that enemy away from you and then move if you get the curse token.
Yeah, it is also nice if you're in the if you're in the situation where you need to investigate your location and you need to shove an enemy away from you so that you can investigate freely. There is that additional niche benefit as well. But what would you rate this card, Man from Lang?
I'm not sure it's... I think I'm going to stay with my zero from the previous cards. I want to see what this deck looks like before I start writing off these Mystic cards. It's got Dexter Drake on the front. I assume that Dexter can get some value out of this. FFG often hints at players strongly that what they should be, who they should be playing these cards with. So Dexter may be able to get some use out of this. But yeah, I think it's definitely the weakest of the three, and probably the one that will, if you had to cut one, this is the one that you would cut. I think you're either going to play, if you're playing this deck and assuming it works, I think Eye of Chaos is the one you're keeping. And then depending on what kind of Mystic you're playing, you're either going to play Armageddon or Shroud of Shadows, but probably not both.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. You only have so many arcane slots, so, you know, it's kind of Sophie's choice on which one you pick. But, I think you're right. I think I would give this a 0-2. Like you said, the non-elite clause is a little bit of an annoyance, but I don't think it comes up too often. Other than the instances where you want to evade and move versus shoving an enemy to a location. It also just gets additional charges like all the other ones. So, you know, if the deck pans out, then you're not going to be sad having this in your deck.
That is going to do it for the Mystic cards in Into Deep. Three cards in this pack, basically, we've seen variations on these sorts of cards since the beginning of the game, and we recently received three more variants in the Jacqueline Fine starter deck. What do you think in total here, Nate?
I think these more than the other ones are so much more difficult to evaluate without seeing how Mystics actually get those curse tokens into the bag. If they can get curse tokens into the bag reliably and it's on cards that they would want to be playing anyway, then these cards are going to feel great. But I think if Mystics don't, then these cards are just going to be more expensive alternatives.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think if you're maybe a Mystic off-class Seeker or Mystic off-class Rogue is the way to go with these, in which case, you're looking at somebody like, Luke. You've got Marie can include some of the Seeker cards. You've got Dexter who can go Rogue. You've got Safina. Investigators like that, I think, are in a much better position than say your pure Mystic like an Akachi. While she does get an additional charge, I just don't think she can add enough tokens to the bag to make it worth her while.
Yeah. I think Akachi is definitely a different archetype than the token reveal.
Yeah, and I think like even somebody like Agnes would also be in a different, wouldn't appeal to these cards because she's an off-class survivor, and survivors are more not necessarily they're more adding blessed tokens or mitigating curse tokens, so that there's not that much synergy there. But I mean, that's the thing, is that you really want a high willpower investigator who's able to use these, because you are sort of tagging yourself with a minus two token. And
what do you think about sorry not to interrupt, what do you think about Jim, because he can take both Faustian Bargain and Deep Knowledge?
Yeah, he could. Jim could certainly pack the bag with tokens, and he does have, if you play Jim with Deep Knowledge and Faustian Bargain and Olive, I mean, he'd have, you'd have everything you need. I'd be just worried about Jim only has four willpower, which is,
yeah, but he does turn the skulls into zeros, you know, so you could in theory, you know, draw a curse and then try to like use Olive or something like that to draw skulls. So I think it complements Jim well, at least, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you throw in Tempt Fate as well, you get even more curse tokens. So somebody like Jim could maybe make this work, and we will have to leave that to the community to, I'm sure they are already brainstorming builds that that will include these cards. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I am also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.